It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. I don't care where you are. You could be in Canada. You could be in Atlanta with me. You could be in Louisiana. You could be in the Bay Area. You could be in Seattle. You could be in Boise, Idaho. What's up, Montreal? You could be in Texas. You could be in Kansas City. You could be in Montana. You could be in Miami. Thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is in New York City. And we've had a hell of a show so far. Talk some NBA. Talk some NFL draft. NFL draft is now almost exactly 2 days away. We're going to find out who's going number one overall. It appears that we have some clarity when it comes to who the Tennessee Titans will select at number one overall. Still not all that much certainty what goes on at number two and number three. We just talked about the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns moving out of their respective spots. And then we talked about some individuals who showed up to work today, like Damian Lillard. He's actually playing basketball right now, returning from that blood clot in his leg against the Indiana Pacers. Well, not working out all that well. At this moment, Indiana leads Milwaukee 53-43. Damian Lillard, in his return this minute, this second, he has a whopping 6 points. Let's see if Giannis can get some help. Giannis has 12 points. We talked about Kirk Cousins. He showed up to work today. Kirk Cousins, he wants out of Atlanta, but he showed up to voluntary workouts. And then we got a guy on the West Coast, Brock Purdy. He showed up for work, too. He's looking for a new deal. I guess he's not taking the route of Brandon Ayuk from last year. Just whine and complain until you get a new contract. Thank God Brock Purdy is avoiding that route. So we have so much more to do as we roll through this show, this hour, next hour. We'll be joined by Alonzo Mourning. Miami Heat are currently in the postseason, so we got to be very careful about what we can talk about with Alonzo Mourning. But he's doing some amazing things in the health space. You might recall more than 20 years ago, Alonzo Mourning, Olympian, NBA champion, not at the time, but he was diagnosed with a kidney disease. And if you ever looked at Alonzo Mourning, if you remember watching him play, he was a specimen. He was a physical freak out on that basketball court. There aren't too many dudes who walked around on the court looking like him. He was like an Adonis out there. And to just see him have to retire due to a kidney disease was just kind of shocking and surprising at the time, because you knew what he ate and how he took care of his body was second to none. So we'll have a chat with Alonzo Mourning next hour. That'll be a fun chat. If you want to be a part of the show, you can do that too. You can call me up, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief, all over the place on the internet. Now, I've had a fun show. Talked about a bit. People who showed up to work, like Kirk Cousins, like Damian Lillard, back in the job, back in the office. We got another guy. Hasn't made anywhere near as much money as Kirk Cousins. This guy showed up to work. Hickey, I try to forget the number. I'm gonna act like I'm on a game show right now. In Kirk Cousins' career, he's already made more than, is it $275 in career earnings, or has he hasn't passed $300 yet, has he?
Oh no, I think he has. I think he surpassed it when he was on the roster back in March and got that $10 million bonus. I think that was the number that put him over the top, I'm pretty sure.
He just went over 300.
Look at him.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, we got Brock Purdy out here. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Brock Purdy is still trying to figure out how the heck he got drafted last and has only made about $3 million over the past couple of seasons. Brock Purdy's about to get the biggest pay increase in NFL history. He's about to make more than $50 million a year, or just about, give or take. And we've heard a lot of talk from the conclusion of the 49ers season, which was pretty bad. They ended, 6-11. It's like everybody was hurt. Christian McCaffrey was hurt. Christian McCaffrey was gone with the Achilles issues, the leg issues. You think about all the starters that they cut loose. Why? Because they have to pay Brock Purdy. Now, we talked about Kirk Cousins showing up at voluntary workouts here in Atlanta. Out in the Bay Area, Brock Purdy, he showed up to work. Despite the fact that he doesn't have a new contract, that it's not done, Brock Purdy, ever the good soldier, I guess you can afford to be humble when you're the last guy selected in the draft. Brock Purdy showed up. And John Lynch gave an update about Brock Purdy showing up. He's like, Brock Purdy showed up to work and he doesn't have a contract extension. This tells you what type of guy this dude is. Listen.
Just that's Brock. He's a pro and he's, he's a very clear minded and not going to let other people influence like what he should be doing. And it's one thing everybody, I think, respects about Brock. He's done a lot for this organization and we're grateful for him and looking forward to having him as our quarterback for a long time.
Yeah, you gotta be right. And that, like, this is not a role for Brock Purdy. Like you just heard from John Lynch, this is who he is. And when you've had his pathway to the NFL, why the hell not? The guy's the number 262 pick in the draft in 2022. Like the last time I checked, Hickey, wasn't he spending the first couple years sleeping on like a lineman's couch or something like that? Didn't they share a house or an apartment?
He had a roommate. San Francisco and that surrounding area is very expensive, JR.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's like, Hickey, this is like Jeremy Lin, but good. Right? This is like Jeremy Lin's story, but good.
Was he also sleeping on a friend's couch?
I don't know. Hickey, hold on. This is what you call an impromptu. This is live radio. Hickey, you're going to have to take over for approximately 30 seconds while I have a lozenge. Otherwise, I'm going to completely lose my voice and like, 2 seconds, okay?
You do your thing, JR, but yeah, thank how you. About Brock Purdy showing up? A lot of other people, you know, in his situation probably wouldn't do that, but now at least you think whenever that $55 million contract comes, maybe he could finally buy a house, finally, live on his own for once, not have a roommate, not have someone encroaching on his own space, maybe get a nice car. I believe he was also driving on top of having a roommate. Wasn't he driving... I think it was like a minivan or an older car, right? Like,
yeah, like a Winnebago or something like that.
Now he can get a nice car as well.
Now, he also did everybody a solid. It's not like he was, living on his last dime. The guy was and has made a couple $1 million over the past couple of years. It's a vast difference between that and making $50 million a year. But wasn't he the guy who gave his own offensive lineman? He got them Toyotas. He got them Toyota trucks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this is also little known, but in a lot of cases, NFL agents and not just the agents, there are specific banks that insure the players' contracts and future earnings. And so I'm sure Brock Purdy, although he was only making a couple mil over the past couple of years, I'm sure Brock Purdy, it depends, maybe he had some money that was advanced to him. Maybe he was able to borrow up against an insurance policy. Maybe he got an advance from his agent. And so, yeah, Brock, nobody's going to say that Brock Purdy was out here being poor, but his financial circumstances have certainly changed a whole hell of a lot over the past couple of seasons. Hickey, I'm still disappointed that game when Hassan Reddick basically tore his elbow to shreds and we ended up with a blowout with the 49ers with no quarterback. I wanted to know what that year would have looked like, if his arm didn't go to hell, but that's a part of the game.
I agree. I'm still not convinced the Eagles would have won that game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
What could have been, unfortunately, we'll never know.
You never know. That's how things always go down in sports. You know, John Lynch, he was very short, very simple, very to the point. He was asked about the contract negotiations and if they're going well, this is what he had to say.
I think there's been some substantive talks that have this thing going in a good direction, and I'll leave it at that.
Hickey, they're going to announce his contract on Thursday. It's either him or Aaron Rodgers, one of those guys.
I feel pretty good about the 49ers announcing it Thursday. Thursday at like 3 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers will wait to see what comes in. He'll wait until like right before the draft time. What time do they go live on, I don't know, ESPN? They're going to go live, well, forever, but, well, that's a good point. But damn, how long are they going to be live? Like 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Probably all day, honestly. Start with get up. It's going to be all day. But, like, actually, there, I would probably say 6 o'clock would be my guess.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers will, he'll make his announcement at, what, 7:59? Right before the first pick?
Wouldn't be surprising, right?
Not at all. Hey, how about...
Oh, because could you imagine he comes out for the Steelers number pick at 21?
What do you mean? So, like...
announce, you know, like... Well, I guess it's more like day two. Like, they have, like, some legends from the franchise come out to announce, like, the second round picks.
Yeah.
Imagine the Steelers did that with Aaron Rodgers. That's how they announced he's signing.
No. The Steelers are too boring for that. It'd have to be a team like... wait a minute. You're saying for this guy to come out and announce the pick and then also announce that he's joining the team?
I mean, you could, I guess, assume maybe that he's joining the team by him announcing the pick. But, you know, with pick 53 in the second round, the Pittsburgh Steelers select whoever it may be, Joe Blow. Yeah, and Steelers, also, I'll see you in the fall, Pittsburgh.
The Steelers are too classy for that. It'd be a loser NFL team would do that. Like the,
Jets.
Yeah. And they've already had their experience with the guy. What a world. Good luck to Brock Purdy. Can't wait to see how much money he gets. I don't feel bad for the guy either way. And speaking of good luck to a guy, congratulations. I would say most people wouldn't know this guy if he walked down the street. Peyton Pritchard has just been named the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year. Man, I didn't even know they were... Hickey, did you know they were giving away these awards this soon already? What are we doing?
I thought it was the second round of the playoffs when they started rolling these out.
Bruh. Peyton Pritchard is the Sixth Man of the Year. He had 82 first-place votes. Malik Beasley was in second place with 13 votes. Ty Jerome from the Cavaliers has 2. I would say the majority of basketball fans wouldn't be able to pick out any of these guys out of a lineup. None of them.
You don't think Peyton Pritchard, not that he's recognizable per se, but like he is on the league's best team that just went to the finals last year, that gets some decent run.
No.
No?
I think, yeah, people who are like real, I think Sixth Man of the Year, I'm thinking a dude that be, I don't know, the Celtics are just so deep. Like, I'm thinking about, like, a reform starter who can just go out there and get a bucket. Like J.R. Smith. Like, J.R. Smith, everybody knew that. Okay, he's a starter, but you just pull him off the bench and just get buckets and get shots. I don't know. Peyton, do people know what he sounds like? Like, there's no point because the team is so deep. It's Tatum. It's Brown. It's White. It's Porzingis. Like, who thinks about Peyton Pritchard? It's not like he's even, I don't want to say necessary. The guy dropped 15 points a game, was one of the best three-point shooters in the game. I get his significance. But am I making sense? I know I'm also losing my voice here. But he's not – the team is just so deep. It's hard to even pay attention to who's coming off the bench. They're just beating everybody up in waves.
I guess the tough part is the entire award, right, for the Sixth Man, no matter who it is. Isn't that kind of the same person anyway? Like – okay, J.R. Smith was a starter, kind of got his notoriety there, but then later in his career kind of relegated to the bench. Lou Williams, that was his role, and I feel like he's probably the most well-known sixth man.
Right.
Maybe I'm gonna run know, Crawford, but like...
I'm going to run through a list right now. So the Sixth Man of the Year award was given out for the first time in 1983. These are some of the names that have won the award. Kevin McHale, Hall of Famer. Bill Walton, Hall of Famer. And shout out to my main man, Eddie Johnson here. Eddie Johnson won it. Eddie Johnson, I'm not even going to say nothing because you'll yell at me. Big Uncle Cliffy, Clifford Robertson. Detlef Schrempf, Anthony Mason. Del Curry, Steph's dad. Darrell Armstrong, he's in some trouble now. I think he got in trouble. I think they said he was fighting with a woman or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, hold on. Let me delete his number out of my phone. Hickey, get it. I need no smoke. I think I last messaged him a few years ago. I don't need no problem here about that. We got Danny Manning. Danny Manning, okay. Aaron McKee, he won for the 76ers. Wow, okay. Now we're starting to get into, I don't want to say obscurity, but these guys ain't Hall of Famers. Bobby Jackson with a great pop-up score for the Kings. Corliss Williamson, nobody. Ben Gordon, not even in the league. Mike Miller. Leandro Barbosa. Manu Ginobili, a Hall of Famer. Jason Terry, Jamal Crawford, Lamar Odin, James Harden, J.R. See, Hickey, these are the names where I'm just like, Peyton Pritchard? Not quite.
Well, okay, like when James Harden won it, for example, I'm assuming that was 2012.
Yeah, Oklahoma City Thunder,
like,
that's right.
Didn't we view James Harden like we kind of view Peyton Pritchard now?
No.
He wasn't getting a lot of burn. You still had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on that team.
Like, yeah, but everybody knew, like, he got it's pretty much if he got his own team, he was going to kill it. Like, if we took, and maybe I'm being a jerk right now, but if we took Peyton Pritchard and just dumped him and said, bruh, you know, you be the lead. Maybe I'm being too harsh. You be the lead dog. You carry a team for a stretch. I don't think he'd be able to do it.
I agree. But I think it's also, I guess, and maybe me using James Harden as the best idea or best example, but like 85% of the players we're talking about, that's the case. That's why they're six men.
Yeah, but they're like all. No, but these guys are like capable of being all stars. No. Like, I just think the sixth man, okay, he's the best dude off of the bench in the entire league, right? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, in that regard, I guess that was him this year. It was. Okay, it was. But historically thinking, I'm just thinking about some of the names who have come and to put up these numbers and got buckets. Like, Peyton Pritchard, to me, versus Jamal Crawford, no. J.R. Smith, no. Harden, no. Lamar Odom, no. Like, Manu Ginobili, some of these guys are Hall of Famers and starters and key contributors. So, I don't know. Maybe Peyton Pritchard will just, he'll be the second best player as they win a championship this year. I have no idea. But, I don't know. I'm unimpressed with the whole damn lineup, by the way, okay? Peyton Pritchard, Ty Jerome, and Malik Beasley? I don't know. There's nobody better in the NBA coming off of a bench. These are the three best guys.
Ty Jerome was good this year. He provided a spark for the Cavs.
He was. Just on another deep-ass team. I don't know. If we put Ty Jerome on the Wizards, what is he doing? Is he Jordan Poole?
I mean, and maybe a little bit more efficient and maybe some better decisions, but... yeah, like, yeah, is he being like James Harden taking over the Rockets like he did and leading them to the playoffs every year? No, I would definitely not say Ty Jerome is doing that, nor would I say Peyton Pritchard is doing that. But, like, he still has a role. Like, even, like, do you have the list up? Like, even if you think of, like, last 3 or 4 years, I'm just trying to think out of the top of my head, like, in terms of six men, like,
yeah.
Has there been anyone that truly Nas has
Reed,
like,
Nas Reed won yeah. last year, yeah. Nas Reed, so here's the most recent guys. You had Nas Reed, uh-oh. You had Nas Reed, Malcolm Brogdon, who the hell else? Tyler Hero. Those are the last guys. Tyler Hero now that Jimmy Butler's gone. Like, Tyler Hero's just out there getting buckets. Nas Reed is still a sixth man. Nobody considered him this year, I guess, because the Wolves aren't no good. There's just something about the Sixth Man of the Year award. It feels like they just take the best team that's already ridiculously deep and then just say, oh, best guy off the bench, you get it. Like, I don't know. Not a fan. I like Peyton Pritchard. Hickey, he doesn't have to do anything. He's playing with the best guys in the whole league.
He's knocking down shots. So he had like 19 points in game one. Like, it's not like he's just some compile. Like, You give him an open three, he's going to make you pay. He gives you instant offense off the bench. That's what. But that's like the point of the. But I guess that's also part of it. If you're a sixth man on a crappy team, well, number one, you probably stink because you can't crack the lineup in the first place on a bad team. So how can you be good off the bench if you're not even good enough to get on the, you know, the Wizards starting five?
You know what? You got a good point. you got me on that last one. We're not going to have a sixth man on a crappy team. Because if you're not in the starting lineup, this is to reward a guy that can start on a good team. You're right. You're right. You got me. You got me. No sixth man of the year coming off of the Wizards bench or the Pelicans. Who's the Pelicans' sixth man of the year? Do they even know?
I don't know, but fire the coach. If your team like is in the lottery and you have a sixth man of the year, fire the coach. What's this guy doing putting this guy come off the bench?
Yeah, some wild stuff. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We need to take a break before I just croak here in this chair. It's the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be back. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Damn. Hickey, here's a better question. I just took two hauls.
You doubled down. You did two instead of just one. Wow.
I said, let me just try to do two. Double the eucalyptus. I tried. We need a sponsorship. They need to sponsor the show. Isn't that what they need to do?
I think so. You are battling through and doing this show solely because of Halls. That definitely warrants a sponsorship.
Yeah, I need to hit them up. I need to hit this. Send some money. I don't know. Does Halls do commercials? I don't know. Like dumb da da. That's not them, is it? Was that Tums?
I think that was Tums. They used to do commercials, though, I thought. I don't think so anymore. But Halls, I thought, they did some decent ones back in the day.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. There needs to be a commercial with, like, a radio broadcaster can't speak. And, you know, he has Halls, and now he can do his job.
I think this could be the commercial right here.
Here we go. Halls commercial from 9 years ago. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Whatever. I guess they realize they don't need this. What do they think? They're the Rolls Royces of throat lozenges?
Who do they think they are, these arrogant?
Here we go. Halls has a YouTube channel, of course.
What do they post on there?
I don't know. 8 videos. 2 months ago, Halls just. Oh, wow. Okay, nah, okay. They did a commercial. You know the music. Oh, I got to get them now. All right. 3 years ago, they did a commercial with Joe Buck. All right. What's he doing? Is he retired? He quit?
Joe Buck? No, he's on ESPN, Monday Night Football.
I'm thinking about baseball. That's what I'm thinking about.
He did one game this year, opening day, Yankees Brewers, but I think he's mostly now just football.
Yeah, he's done. I'm being honest. Like,
they're the best booth the NFL's got right now.
Hickey, I'm sitting here on Monday Night Football. How much am I hearing of these guys?
Well, how much?
How much do you hear of them? You sitting here with me.
I hear the fourth quarter. When I leave and I go home, I watch. Well, also too, I will admit, I watch the Manning cast like half the time. So half the time it's Peyton and not even listen to Joe Buck. But I've listened to the rest, and I know Joe and I know Troy. They're number one.
Yeah, right. Halls is worth reaching out to. I'm going to see who their agency is. No reason not to say, hey, be a part of the show. I shouted you guys out. You helped me do the show, okay? They did Joe Buck, and then they had a commercial with Lotto, who's the musician from here in Atlanta. So somebody at Halls knows what the hell they're doing. I just got to get a hold of Mickey sooner than later.
Hopefully they're listening to tonight's show.
Yeah, I hope so. It is the JR Sport Brief Show. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Speaking of people knowing what they're going to do, we've had these conversations. The Browns, what are they going to do at 2? Potential for them to trade out of that spot. The New York Giants selecting a number 3 overall. We don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to stick around and select Abdul Carter? They're going to draft the quarterback. It doesn't appear likely at this point. Are they going to trade down? We don't know. But the team selecting number one overall, I don't want to say the cat is out the bag, but it's pretty apparent right now, this moment, this second, what the Tennessee Titans want to do. Remember, Cam Ward had his pro day. Tennessee Titans were there. They were impressed. They went to lunch. They did all of this. Cam Ward said, if they don't select me, they're going to pay for it. It's just, it's a lot. Tennessee Titans are not going to move. Take a listen to their new GM, Mike Borgonzi, pretty much say, we ain't trading nothing. We're staying at one.
No, we've come to a consensus. The entire organization is to stay at that pick. And I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
Okay. I wonder. If you're Will Levis, what exactly are you doing? If you're Will Levis and you know you don't have a job, you don't have a starting job, do you just, you got no choice but to accept being a backup? Do you hope that he's not ready? Do you hope that you can make it a competition? You hope that you can beat him out? I mean, just from a physical standpoint, Will Levis don't move like that guy. Okay, he may be able to throw the ball just as far, but he sure as hell does not move like Cam Ward. Will Levis, that he lied about the mayonnaise, right? Did he lie about that?
I would say more exaggerate. You know, he did it for attention, okay. And then I'm sure quit as soon as it really took off.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on now in the world of being legitimate. He's a fraud. And now he has to think about where he's going to throw the football next. Who's going to take him seriously? Nobody. Mike Borgonzi, he was asked about what he's learned about Cam Ward during this draft process. Let's see if he gave a little bit of an inkling as to what he was going to do or what he will do at number one. This is what he had to say about Ward.
You know, the competitive edge that he has, you can feel that talking with the kid. He's very intelligent. You know, we've had him on the board several times with Brian. And just, you know, the family. He comes from a great family as well.
Okay, all right, there you go. That's the easiest. We all know he's going number one overall. And here's the thing, Hickey. Do you keep Will Levis on the roster? I mean, do you move him on? Like, you got to get somebody worth a damn. You don't just want to start Cam Ward out the gate. You think he's going to start out the gate?
I do. He's played a lot in college. He's a five-year starter, so he's played a lot of high-level football. He's gotten better every single year. I think he's ready to go right now. With that said, I would still move off of Will Levis and try to get more of a veteran quarterback in there
that can
provide some mentorship, teach you how to be a pro, et cetera. I would not want basically Will Levis teaching Cam Ward blind, leading the blind. No thanks. So, yeah, I would start in week one, but either way, I think you still need to get a different vet in there that's not Will Levis to teach him.
Oh, not Will Levis. Yeah, what is Will Levis going to teach him to do? Throw the ball to the wrong team? That's just it's going to be disastrous. As it stands right now, the Tennessee Titans roster, their depth chart, they got Brandon Allen and they got Tim Boyle. All right, there's no way in hell that you as a Tennessee Titans can just say, hey, we got Cam Ward, Brandon Allen, Tim Boyle. And nobody's going for that. You got to find a veteran off the scrap heap. What's old guy Philip Rivers? What do you got? 20 kids now, right?
He's got a lot. He's giving Antonio Cromartie a run for his money.
Yeah, he's trying to, every day he's trying to get away from his kids. Just give, why are you laughing?
I just like the way that was phrased. That was funny.
Listen, if you got 20 kids, man, you're trying to run, okay? You made them and now you just, it's.
Trying to get away from the mess you created?
yeah. Come on, man. 20 kids? Oh, I'm exaggerating. But he has 11 kids?
I was going to say 12. I think it's, 10. It's 9, 10, 11. I mean, it's a very large number.
Hickey, that's like that. What was that lady that lived in a boot? What's her name? Mother Hubbard or something like that?
Oh, wow. That's a deep archive pull. Mother. I don't know.
Am I mixing up mothers? Or is that her, right?
Wasn't it a rhyme? Little you who lives in the shoe? Am I missing? Now am I mixing that up?
I think we are. Philip Rivers has 10 kids. Good for him. Oh, my God. No thanks. Now, who's the old lady? Google. Who is the old lady living in a shoe? And who made this crap up anyway? Didn't you have a bunch of kids in there? What?
Just the way you said that was funny. She hiding a bunch of kids in that shoe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a hickey. It's Irish folklore. That's what it's from. Okay? The lady that lived in the shoe.
How about that? So she is nameless.
Come on now. I thought this name was Mother Hubbard.
Mother Hubbard?
Yeah. Yeah. You never heard of that?
Never heard of that.
Old Mother Hubbard is an English language nursery rhyme. After notable nursery success, it was adapted to a large... What is about this lady? You know what? I don't got time. Yeah, she lived in a cupboard.
Miss Hubbard lived in the cupboard?
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to give the poor dog a bone. When she came there, the cupboard was bare, and so the poor dog had none. I'm not reading this crap. I'm going to find out about that lady that lived in a shoe, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to give you an update on the NBA. We're going to talk some more NFL, but I need to go back to my childhood and have another lozenge and figure this out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Yeah, now I'm trying to yell, or trying not to yell. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. This is something important that I want you to know in the meantime. Very important. We talked about him earlier on in the show. But we're going to get to it again. Right now, it's an NFL draft preview. Sponsored by Ego. Tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego. Power beyond belief. We heard this from Peter Schrager from ESPN. Trades could be in the works for multiple top three picks. Schrager is reporting that the Browns and the Giants, they're taking calls from teams looking to trade up to number two or three ahead of Thursday's draft. All 32 teams hold their respective first round pick. This is the closest we've ever been to the draft since 1967 without a single trade, including a first round pick being made. We still got 2 days. I think somebody somewhere is going to make a move. I don't want to say it's inevitable, but if you just take a look at the odds, it is more than likely that somebody's going to try to do some moving. Somebody's going to try to do some shaking. I'd be hard pressed to think that we are not going to have any trades in the first round. Between now and Thursday, I think not. I mean, even Jerry Jones and all of his ridiculous, I don't even know if I want to call it glory. Even Jerry Jones spoke to the media today, and he said that the Dallas Cowboys are working on substantive trades, okay? They're working on pretty substantive trades. We don't know what the hell that means. And let's also be real. What do the Dallas Cowboys have? What do they possess that anybody wants? Am I missing something here? Like, am I absolutely not paying attention? What do the Dallas Cowboys have that anybody wants? I don't want none of their players. The Dallas Cowboys is not like they're selecting real high in the draft. They have the number 12 selection. People are talking about whether or not they want to get Ashton Jeansy at 12. He could be at 12. He could be gone by the Raiders at 6. Like, we have no idea. But when you got Jerry Jones in the mix, of course, something stupid and ridiculous might happen. Hick, you think we're going to go all the way till Thursday without a pick being moved around?
I would right now say yes. Honestly, in large part, just because I feel like a lot of these trades, right, are usually centered around quarterbacks for the most part. And right now, outside of Cam Ward, it does not seem like Shedeur Sanders, unless a team like the Steelers falls in love with him and wants to trade up from 21, does not seem like a team is going to trade up to get him. And wow. If Abdul Carter goes, you know, 3 to the Giants and Travis Hunter goes 2 to the Browns like we expect, what other, I just don't know right now of another prospect teams are going to try to trade up and go get.
So it's one thing that to have these conversations or have a trade take place between now and Thursday at 8 Eastern. We might have it take place during the first round. That's a possibility as well. We get a lot of that. Like, it's like, remember, a couple years ago when Justin Fields was selected and the Giants and the Bears did that. That took place in the first round.
No, and you're right. We do see, you know, plenty of trades happen as the draft gets going. And I could, like, I guess what I could see happening in the first round is a team trading back up, let's say, for Jackson Dart later in the first round or Jalen Miller to try to get that fifth year of control.
Oh, man.
So maybe towards the back end, you could see teams trying to trade and move out. But at least, I guess I'll say, going into Thursday, like between now and when Roger Goodell announces the number one overall pick, the Titans drafting Cam Ward, I'll be surprised if we hear a trade announced.
You know, but you bring up Jackson Dart. Do you believe in Jackson Dart? You think he could be like a long-term starter in the NFL?
I don't. I'm also someone, JR, that I feel like I definitely use maybe more than I should college production, college stats. Like, I watched Jackson Dart. He was fine against, like, you know, Wake Forest and Vanderbilt and South Carolina, but like when you need him to play well, really outside of the one game he played against Georgia, he's struggled against the best opponents, and that scares me if I was an NFL evaluator.
I feel the same way. I don't think there's anything all that exciting. I don't know if his athleticism, his ability to run, nobody's going to put him in the category of a Jalen Milroe or even a Cam Ward. I would just be I just don't think it translates. I think nowadays at the NFL level, you don't have to be Lamar Jackson. There's only one Lamar. We talked about Jalen Milroe and what he's capable of doing speed-wise. But I think you do have to have an ability to just really move. I think you do have to have a great deal of athleticism. You have to have the ability to scramble. So even looking at somebody like Shador, I would take Shador over Jackson Dart. Nobody's going to look at Shador and just say, oh, my God, this dude is darting all over the field, pardon the pun, Jackson Dart. But I think Shador knows how to get rid of the ball. And I don't think he has to get adjusted and used to getting rid of the rock. I just think as an overall, Jackson Dart, he's a backup. He'll get his chance and his time to shine. I just don't see him as a long-term starter. So I'd be surprised if any team takes a look at Jackson Dart. I'd be shocked if we see this guy going in the first round of the draft. I don't expect that. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Trent is here from Boise, Idaho. You're on the JR Sport Re Show. What's up, Trent?
Thank you, JR, for calling me. And I just want to ask you, I'm a Charger fan. What do you think we should do with the 22nd pick?
Well, I know everybody likes to take a look at Harbaugh and what he thinks about, you know, building from the trenches, something that they certainly went out and did last year. They added a running back to help in that regard in Najee Harris. I cannot overstate, and I think I've mentioned this before, how much I cannot stand Quentin Johnston. And so if McMillan is still there from Arizona at that point in time, and whoever the heck might be available, I'm grabbing a wide receiver. Okay, because if you're Justin Herbert, it's one thing to have to hand the ball off in between the lines all the damn time. We know he's had to adjust his game. Before Harbaugh came to town, he's throwing the rock all over the place. I still think in this NFL, and Harbaugh was in the league, this is more than 10 years ago at this point in time, between his stint with the 49ers and going out to Michigan, you have to throw the rock. And so I'd be surprised if they don't get Justin Herbert a little bit more help. Because Ladd McConkey did an amazing job operating as a wide receiver, and especially particularly in his rookie year. But Quentin Johnston, he's supposed to be the big-time game changer. That's supposed to be the dude that was going to help them because he helped TCU, surprisingly, you know, go to a national championship. The guy can't hold on to a ball. He's not reliable on a week-to-week basis. I'd be looking at him trying to give him the boot, and I'd be looking at a wide receiver. That's my thoughts. Hickey, if you were the Chargers, what would you do?
That or, like, the interior defensive line help? I think, like, with Jim Harbaugh, too, he's someone who wants to win the trenches. They did a good job building the O-line. And also try to get a little tougher on the defensive line. You moved off of Joey Bosa, right move. So it's an edge rusher, someone on the interior that can get after the quarterback. That's one where I think you can bolster the defensive line with a high-level talent and make your team tougher and better in 2025.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys that they have or have had are older. Khalil Mack not getting any younger. Bud Dupree at this point in time, what the hell are you expecting from him? A whole lot of nothing, if you asked me. And so the Chargers, hey, this is still a team that won 11 games last year. You know, are they going to still win 11 with an improved Raider squad in the division? You know, you would think the Kansas City Chiefs, they take a couple more losses this year. And so I think there's a way for them to improve. I wouldn't judge it by the record. I would go with a wideout. Hickey has a good point. Get some help on the defense as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got Alonzo Mourning coming up next hour. We'll talk about a few things that happened this day in sports history. We'll give you an update on some NBA basketball on the other side. Don't move.